Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Everybody say, have faith in God. We know this phrase or expression means to have the God kind of faith or have the faith of God as well. So that means Jesus said you must have it, so there's oftentimes we are to need it. Five times in the scriptures, the Bible tells us and instructs us that the just, that's us, must and should live by faith. And so this is a very important expression from the lips of our master. Because he's getting ready to outline the principles of the law of faith. He said, for assuredly I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now we're reminded in verse 22 that we have been given a measure of the God kind of faith. Because Jesus wouldn't have said to have it if it was impossible to have it. And of course, he wouldn't have said to have it unless he knew you would need it. When you look up at the sky and look out at the expanse of the vast wonder of the creation, we can say we have a measure of what created this to the glory of God. Amen. Romans 10:12-3 tells us, for I say, though through the grace given to me, unto me, to every man, that to think among you, to think of himself, not to think of himself highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. So it's like he's dealing to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. Now, what are you doing with the measure? That's your responsibility. And we're reminded in verse 22 and 23 of Mark 11, these powerful principles of the law of faith. We learned from these verses, as we've taught in the past, just as a reminder, that real, genuine faith works by saying it and praying it. We're reminded that Jesus was outlining the fundamentals of faith that show us and tell us that faith first believes with the heart. Everybody say, my heart is a believing factory. Now, he's not talking about your cardiovascular vesicle or your blood pump. He's talking about your spirit. Whosoever says to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. See, you can't believe with your heart vessel, your blood natural side, just like you can't believe with your fingers. You can't exercise faith through your fingers, nor can your blood pump. But he's talking about the real you, your spirit man. Okay? Now, Matthew 21:21 and 22 says, so Jesus answered and said unto them, assuredly I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to this fig tree, but also say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Romans 10:10 tells us, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everybody say, I believe with my heart. And with my mouth I confess. Now here he's talking about salvation, which is the great confession, confessing Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That's important. But some people say, well, I did it once. Well, you have to do it all the time. Christianity is called the great confession in some circles. That means you don't lose your confession once you've made Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. You have to use your mouth all the time. Amen. You got to command stuff. You got to confess about the situation of stuff. And you got to cry to God in faith. So if you're silent, if you're muzzle mouth, then you're going to kind of lose by default. Believing is the attitude of faith. It's an attitude of confidence of God and in his word. Second, this passage of scripture, Mark 11, 22 through 24, teaches us that we, with our faith, speaks and confesses with the mouth. The first word is say to the mountain. That's the word that means command. So a lot of times people talk about their mountain, but they don't talk to it. That means Jesus said you got to command the mountain. So the mountain is just representative of the things that are really large, bad, and big in your life. What's a big deal in your life? Well, it could be finances. What are you saying to your finances? Now, most people will say things about their finances. I don't have enough money. Bank balance is down to zero. It's not in the budget. Jesus said you didn't have what you think. He said you'll have whatever you say. But he said some things you need to be saying stuff to it, not about it. Now, we're good about telling about it because we can even post it on social media. This is about my problems. I'm telling everybody about my problems. No, he said, you talk to it. Amen. Yeah. If your body is racked with pain and sickness or disease, sometimes you got to say to your body, because your body is representing that mountain. You got to say to that disease. So you got to ask yourself, am I really talking to my mountain? Because today I'm talking to you, but as we get ready to take communion, examine your faith. Are you really believing? Examine your faith. Everybody say examine. Examine. Your faith. Amen. Turn to someone next to you, smile on them real good, and say, you need to examine, your faith. And I need, say it, to examine my faith. I don't want you to look across the aisle at other people and try to figure out what they're doing. You got to point the fingers right here. Judge yourself. Are you really believing? Are you really speaking in faith? These are ABCs or fundamentals of faith. So some people got it out of fundamentals. But Steve knows in the back, we kind of enjoy football a little bit. We're getting excited. The season's coming back. And praise God. Hallelujah. I know that's one little thing I got going on, but anyway, we know that teams don't get far at all or don't get to the Super Bowl or don't even win the Super Bowl if they haven't mastered the fundamentals. In the golf, if you like golf, you know, they have a Masters tournament. But what does those players in the PGA tournament represent? They are masters of the fundamentals. They know how to tee off. They know how to play the fairway. They know how to get on the greens and putt. They master the fundamentals. What do you and I have to do? We have to master the fundamentals because the just shall live by faith. That's right. That's Smith Wigglesworth said this, any man can be changed by faith no matter how he or she, in this neutral general, he's saying he may be fettered. That means bound up. However you bound up, if you're bound up financially, you can be changed by faith. If you're bound up with a sickness or disease or debilitating situation, you can be freed up by faith. You can be delivered of it by faith. Everybody say, by faith. By faith. See, Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood who had 12 years, spent all her money, got worse, going to all these doctors and doctor visits. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. In other words, if her faith made her whole, your faith will make you whole. And as we said before, faith works the same in any arena, any sphere, in any realm. It'll work the same in the financial realm. It'll work the same in the family realm. It'll work the same in the physical realm as far as healing and dealing with your health and well-being. It'll work the same on the job. It'll work the same in your career endeavors and your business. Faith works the same, but you have to examine your faith and take a measurement based on the scriptures to see, am I operating in the fundamentals? So we command what? We command the mountain. We speak to the mountain. We don't speak about the mountain. You don't talk to everybody else about your mountain. You talk to it. Now, I know that's counterculture, because in the media, social media society we live in, everybody talks about stuff. But Jesus is telling us we got to talk to stuff. Amen. Amen. Secondly, saith, this word saith in Mark 11:23 means to speak out loud. So that means if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, your own mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. That means if you're just muzzled up and muted up and you got your lips closed and you don't say nothing, you don't get nothing. You got to speak out loud. What you say will come to pass. Your faith has to be strong enough to open up your own two lips and make a bold statement of faith. Third, this last word, say, he says in verse 23, is a systematic set discourse. That means you got to keep on saying it. This word is the word Lego, which means building blocks, where we see Lego toys. The picture's on the outside, but the blocks on the inside. E.W. Kennett said this way, confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. So speaking or saying is an essential and initial act of faith. Believing is the attitude of faith. Speaking is the act of faith. What are you saying? Now, if we took inventory of everybody's issues in life, I mean, we'd have a long list. We probably can fill up the wall here. But that's not the important thing. It's what are we doing about that list of issues? What are we saying about those list of issues? Amen. The fundamentals of faith teach us that faith believes, faith says, and faith does. We said it believes, it speaks, and it acts upon the Word of God. Because faith without action is what? Dead faith. Dead faith is like carrying a dead Jesus. So the Lord will have you believe it in your heart, speak it out of your mouth, and then give you steps of actions, obedient steps to take, moves to make. Your faith acts. You got to act your faith. And we find from Romans 4:20-22 that it says this, and he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. See, the opposite of belief is unbelief. Wavering is a sign of unbelieving. That means you're vacillating. The root word there is duo, where we get double-minded or double thoughts. One day you're in faith, one day you're in doubt. You're swinging back and forth like a pendulum. You're vacillating. He said he wasn't wavering through unbelief, and he wasn't doubting. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted for him for righteousness. So fully persuaded faith is the faith that gives glory to God. We often say it this way, doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So if you're in faith, you will be rejoicing. If you're in faith, you will be giving thanks. If you're in faith, you will be giving. You will be glad. Some of you need to notify your face to be glad. In the same britches that you sat in or mad in, you can get glad in. Amen. 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 Doubt complains. So if complaining is leaving your lips, it means you're in doubt. If worrying is on your mind, it means you're in doubt. It's fear-based. It's fear dependent. If you're sad, or you can group mad and just smoldering or frustrated about something or sorrowing about something, then you're in doubt. Everybody say, examine yourself. Examine your faith. Now, we've been emphasizing the importance of joy and maintaining your joy because of its strengthening work in, on, and for your faith. Joy is a very important force. Joy gives you both a face lift, you smile, and a faith lift. Because we receive the end of our faith with joy inexpressible or joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means if you believe, you'll be happy. Amen. You're excited. You're expectant. Because you already know in the spirit, I've already got it. And I act like I've got it. So I thank God for it. Amen. And I praise God for it. Amen. When you're still wanting it and worrying about it, you're really not believing. Like the Bible says. It's amazing how many Christians are shocked and when trouble, trauma, and tension, tribulation, and trials surface in their lives. It's like the whole universe stops, has to stop, because I got stuff going on. They have this idea that salvation in Christ brings a candy-coated life, so to speak. Jesus plainly said that in the world we'll have tribulation and trouble. John 16:33, scripture reference. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of. So if you got many afflictions, that means you ought to expect trouble to come. But he commanded us to be of good cheer in John 16:3. In this world you shall have, that means it's going to happen. You're going to have trouble. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Cheerfulness is infectious. It ministers to your face, your faith, and your fellow Christians. Because when you get happy, it spreads. When everybody see you cheer up, like Paul on that ship in Acts chapter 27 in the hurricane, he said, everybody cheer up. I believe God. And then he blessed the bread and ate for the first time after 2 weeks of being out in that storm and rain. And when all hope was gone, he ate bread and everybody else got encouraged. Your encouragement will affect other people's encouragement. Examine your faith. Everybody say, examine your faith. Hallelujah. So, friends, we have to stop letting and allowing life's troubles in the world to affect our spirit of faith and our spirit of joy. With our strengthened faith, we must learn how to stop denying our problems and troubles and begin denying its right to continue to rule, dominate, and dictate our life to us. Because faith is not denying the facts. Faith, real faith, speaks truth into those facts so that those facts can change. The facts may be I've got diabetes in my body, or I got high blood pressure in my body, or I got something going on in my body. Faith is not denial. Denial is a river in Egypt. But the faith speaks the truth into the fact. The facts can change because any man can be changed by faith. No matter how they may be fettered. Hallelujah. The fact may be you have arthritis. The fact may be you have bursitis. But the fact may be you may have lung disorder, heart disease, whatever the case may be. But they can change by faith. Amen. You don't deny them, but you don't allow them to dictate your life. You deny its rights to rule, to reign, and to dominate you. You got to say something to that mountain. You've got to believe God and then speak to that mountain so that it moves. Hallelujah. Real faith gives you the ability to sing and rejoice in all sorts of circumstances. So if you're not singing and rejoicing in your circumstances, in the middle of your fiery trial and trouble, then there's not really good faith there. With our joy, friends, and confident believing faith, we can light fires in the cold rooms and scatter the gloom, discouragement, and despair in and upon people's lives. So just imagine if this was a freezer and it was 10 degrees Fahrenheit and we had icicles hanging out around, everybody's in here shaking and cold and gloomy, and it was dark. Well, your fire can come in and light a fire in your world and scatter that gloom, despair, and discouragement in people's lives. Now let's look at it again. Mark 11, 23, 24. Go back there and look at it again. Let's look at it. Feast on it again. For surely I say unto you, whosoever said to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says will be done. Believes that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, you will have them. Now the 25th and 25th verse gives us indication that real faith, and we must remember this, that real faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. Real faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. He said, when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught, just a word that means anything against anybody. If you have issues, if you have grievances or ill feeling about anybody, he said, forgive them. Because faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. You got to walk in love. You can't speak against them because you contribute to the downfall. Every step out of love is sin. That's why you got to examine yourself. If your faith not working, if you're not really believing, that's the first place to check. The first place to check is your love walk and your love life. Have I any animosity, ill will? You can't have the least bit of ill will, the least bit of animosity, the least bit of aggravation against people. Can't have any aughts, anything against anyone. Got to let it drop, let it go. And many people, in verse 23, it tells us, go back to verse 23, many people are praying when they should be saying. Because Jesus, our Lord, is our greatest example of faith. He spoke to fig trees. He spoke to wind. He spoke to waves. He even spoke to fever. Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 38 through 39, now it rose in the synagogue, and he arose from the synagogue and entered into Simon, that's Peter's house. But Simon's wife's mother, that means Peter's mother-in-law, was sick with a high fever. See that? Great fever. I mean, she had a migraine headache. She was in bad shape. And they made requests of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever. Hey, wait a minute. Does fever have ears? Look at what it says. And it left her. Evidently, the fever has ears. Evidently, the mountain had ears. Evidently, the fig tree had ears because it withered up from the root. Evidently, the wind has ears because the wind ceased. And the waves have ears. Waves come. So you can speak to things. So you got to examine your faith and say, am I speaking to the things that I need to move in my life? Am I speaking to the things that need to change in my life? He said he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and served. See, there are two prayers, so to speak, that God doesn't answer. Write this down if you're taking notes, if you want to take it. Number one, you can't ask God to do something he's already done. He's already defeated the devil, so you can't pray to God, God, get the devil out of my life, get the devil out of my body, get the devil out of my money. No, you got to do it. Because he gave you a name and said, in my name, you shall drive out demon. Who does the driving out? You do. But you do it how? In his name. Amen. Second prayer, he can't, because he can't answer this kind of prayer. He can't and do what he's already told you to do. Sometimes we're praying about stuff that God says, I told you to do this. It's either generally spoken in the word or you have a word from God specifically about it, particularly about your finances. If he says, well, okay, you know the tithe, the word talks to you about tithing, the word talks to you about giving, guess what? You're praying to me about your finances. I've already told you what to do about your finances. Hallelujah. Because he can't answer those prayers. So the question is, are you really believing? Now let's read the communion section of Scripture, because it gives us the impetus or the initiation of examining ourselves. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received of the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Everybody say, I must examine myself. Now, you don't go on pointing that finger of blame and judging other people. You got to judge yourself. You got to examine your faith to determine, am I really believing? And if I'm believing, then I'm at the table, I'm receiving everything Jesus has done for me through his broken body and his shed blood. All the benefits, all the blessings that come from Jesus dying for me, my redemptive rights and privileges, I receive them again. Jesus didn't go to the cross so you can stay in sin or oppressed by Satan or dominated and debilitated by sickness and disease or tormented by grief and sorrow. He came to set us free. Amen. Amen. And who the Son set free is free, what? Indeed. He said, examine himself. Verse 28, and so let him eat of that bread. And so, for he that drinketh and unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation, so not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding what this represents. For this cause many are sick and weakly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, everybody say, I got to judge myself. We should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened with the Lord, and not that we should not be condemned with the world. Now let's keep going. We are to judge ourselves and not judge other people. Matthew tells us not to judge. So you're not supposed to judge other people. Everybody say, I'm not supposed to judge other people. Now remember, man looks at the outward, but God looks at where? The heart. So Jesus said grace is a higher standard. In Matthew 5, he talks about looking at a woman in the context of adultery, and lusting is like committing the act. You be judged for committing adultery without even having sex under grace. He said, if you're angry with a brother without a cause, you're guilty. Now, here's what happens when you allow sin consciousness to get into you. Now, just listen to me real closely, because the Lord was speaking to me about this all yesterday. He said, you become self-righteous instead of understanding the righteousness of God. Self-righteous and sin-conscious when you speak, even in your internal mind. Now, Brother Copeland was given an example of this when he was first encountered with Jerry Savelle, and he said he saw him. He said, Brother Copeland, I'm ready to go to the ministry. I just quit my business. I just got off my job, and I'm ready to serve the Lord. And he began to have a thought. He allowed the thought of, well, you're probably going to be broke for money here in a month, and you're going to come and ask me for the money. Well, the Lord immediately got on his case and said, well, when he asks you, you'll give him some. And he said, you need to repent of how you think about him, because you shifted from, because he said he allowed the sin consciousness of the of that temptation to come into him instead of righteousness. So everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that's what that connotes, this unworthily participation. You, if you see yourself as a beggar, a sinner, an outcast, unworthy, then you're saying, Jesus, you didn't do good enough for me. You didn't do good enough to take care of me or to take care of all of my needs. You're judging God. You're partaking unworthily. You're self-righteous and sin-conscious. You're saying, I'm still struggling in this thing, and you got to judge yourself and not judge other people. Amen. So he had to repent of being self-righteous. Now, there's some people that don't say a word to anybody, but they have wrong thoughts about people in their sphere of influence. They think evil of people, and they even say things like, they never. Well, who gives you the right to put that on somebody? God told me when I was a manager, first started in Tulsa, Oklahoma, with Church's Chicken. He said, don't speak about your people. He said, bless them means to say something good about them. He said, even though you see them coming out of prison, some of them, well, did it coming out of prison, some of them coming out of the gangs, some of them coming out of situations of, you're like, oh, God. But he said, don't judge them. Don't put your mouth on them. Don't put your thoughts evil about them. Amen. And it's an easy thing to do, to sit there and talk about people. Talk about your kids because the certain way they act or the certain way they behave, and you put your mouth against them and you become sin conscious of them and you become self-righteous toward God, and that's a big deal. When you put a label on somebody, Brother Hagin did it when he was at a meeting and he saw a pastor who was on the stage with him at I guess it was a revival meeting or whatever. And he saw the pastor just preaching up a storm and anointed and power of God. And then he saw him the next morning walk into a liquor store. So immediately he got to thinking, what's he doing in the liquor store? And he judged him. Then he saw him back at church the same night. They were still having a meeting. He went home, and he got down to pray, say his prayers at night, and he said the lights were off, but the lights came on. The whole room flooded. And God, by the Holy Spirit, spoke to him out of Romans 14. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? And he said, when you looked at that pastor and you judged him for going to that liquor store, you don't know why he went in there. I could have sent him in there on a mission. But you presupposed and judged him. And then you couldn't receive from him that night in the service because you judged him. It happens way too often in families. When we become failure conscious, which is sin conscious, and this table says victory. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. That's faith. It might look like defeat is standing four walls naked around you, but thanks be to God who always causes us, what? To triumph. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You take that tape, you say, I got the victory. You can't get the victory and then go home and talk defeat. about your family, amen, about your marriage, amen, about your finances. Because you're really not in faith, because Romans 14 says, whatever is not of faith is sin. Am I really believing? Y'all got quiet here. Are we okay? Back in Mark 11:23. We got just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. We'd be almost done. We're believing something different than when we say, we believe something different when we say, believe something in verse number 24. Now look, he said, verse 23, but believes that those things which he says will be done. And here it says, believe that those things shall come to pass. So what are you believing? Your words. You believe in your words. We get so flippant with our words sometimes. We say they ain't never do this. They always get this. They always trying to do this. They always and label. What are we doing? We putting defeat when we should be talking victory.
Amen.
That's why we said your words make your children want to come to church or want to stay home. Your words make your children sick or make them healthy. If you're always talking negative and defeat, you basically transferring sin consciousness instead of a righteousness consciousness. Now, the facts may be they're feverish, they got a hot temperature, but the faith in you should speak up and say, no, this, you will not have this. We'll deny its right to continue to rule and dominate and dictate our lives. Are you really in faith? Are you really believing? Verse 24 says, we shall believe that we receive when we pray. So we can summarize it as this. He said, real faith believes, speaks, and acts on the word of God or a word from God. Real faith can be seen, real faith can be heard, and real faith acts. You can go turn that off, just turn it. Real faith gives glory to God, rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. Real, genuine faith is based on a solid foundation, the word of God or a spoken word from God. The Holy Spirit's involved in both scenarios. Now, Romans 10:17. Let's look at this. You guys put it up there, Romans 10:17. We're going to all read this together. Everybody here? Everybody good? So faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Let's read it again. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to be more selective to be more effective. Don't pray about everything all at once. Because oftentimes, if we're not highly developed in it, we can't have the capacity, we don't have the faith capacity developed to handle a whole bunch of things all at once. What does God have you believe in him for right now? What does your faith, is your faith standing on right now? What do you believe in God for right now? We're all supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that comes. So sometimes we get slow and we get off the faith track, and then we just go with familiarity track and feeling track, and then we just say these phrases. Lord, I'm just believing God will work things out. I'm just, what you're basically saying, I'm hoping things will work out. I'm wanting things to work out, but are you really believing? And the second point is, don't pray out ahead of your faith. If you don't have faith in your heart, if you don't have confidence and belief in your heart, then don't pray about it yet. Because you can pray out ahead of your faith. And if you lie, if you're used to lying or stretching or embellishing every once in a while, then you will basically allow faith to work in your life to be less effective and less efficient. Because if you tell half-truths, if you run your mouth, one day you're talking like an angel, the next day you're talking like a devil. Now let's look at it again. Faith comes by hearing. Everybody read it again. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? This word of God is two words. It means rhema, which is the spoken word, and Christos, which means the anointed one. Or you can put it together and say the anointed word. Meaning the Holy Spirit either reveals or quickens the written word to your heart, and it comes alive in you. Because faith is spiritually born out of your spirit. Faith is of the heart. It's not something of the head. You can't just read the Bible and wrote in just routine regimen and expect faith to come. Faith comes by hearing a spoken word that's anointed. The Holy Spirit can communicate a word of instruction, direction, or wisdom directly from the Lord. See, in hearing anointed preachers and teachers, you hear from him, the Lord. So it's not important that you hear from me. It's important that you hear him. Amen. The Holy Spirit lights the Bible up to you. That thing illuminates and jumps into your spirit. And you say, I see it. I got it. It's a revelation. It's a spoken word to you. Because somebody could be falling asleep in the same room and somebody else can be saying, man, God's talking to me right now. Yeah. The other person could be, oh. Because see, faith doesn't come by hearing, but hearing the pastor. That's right. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing a spoken word, an anointed spoken word from him. So that means you come to church to hear him. Amen. You sit in that seat, and you're not there just in a regiment just to naturally take notes and take points that you're never going to look at again. No, you're there to hear him. Some of you need to put your notes down so you can hear. You don't hear with just these flappers on the side of your head. You hear in here. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit quickens or illuminates and reveals the word to your heart. Faith comes alive and is revealed in your heart. When Kenneth Hagin was dealing with his children and his sick child was ill, now he's raised up off deathbed, 17, 18 years old, raised up off deathbed, partial paralysis from his legs down. He couldn't walk for 18 months. He had three incurable blood diseases, and he had a deformed heart that beat off beat. It had a wrong, bad rhythm. And he was cured and healed at 17 years old, off the deathbed, given up to die. No doctors wanted to work on him. No preacher wanted to pray for him other than get ready to go home. And he got healed off of Mark 11, 23, 24. He knew his answer was in there. The Holy Spirit led him, told you, your healing's right there. And it took him 11 months actually, from when he saw in the word till he received his healing. Now you listen to me. His daughter was sick. He's older now. And his wife sends word that she needs prayer. Well, he didn't turn around to write and pray for it, because remember, when you pray without faith, you mess up your faith life. Sometimes you pray ahead of your faith. So he said, I'm going to take the next day and build faith in my heart. So he found healing scriptures that he could quote. But he spent time, half an hour to an hour, meditating on them. Every 2 or 3 hours, he would just spend time in that until he got faith. That next morning, he called his wife and said, I'm ready to pray. Why? He heard from him. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Dr. Jerry Savelle was needing $100,000. Anybody need money? Well, don't raise your hand. He needed $100,000. It was Wednesday afternoon. He had just got off the ministry trip. And his executive director came in and said, he said, Brother Jerry, we need $100,000 by Friday. It's 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And so he went to the Lord. He's praying about the need. They need it, $100,000 on Friday. He went to the Lord. Well, he learned the principles of the law of faith from Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, those guys. And I'm teaching you now. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so he went to the Lord. Now the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tell him, go read this section of Scripture. And he said, well, I don't know what that scripture's got to do with the, I need $100,000. Holy Spirit said again, go read that section of Scripture. So he read that section of Scripture. He read it once, and he said, I don't know what you mean. He said, read it again. He read it again. It was one of the ones in Acts. Read it again. He read it again. Then he said, read it again. He said, Lord, I don't know what that means. He said, read it again. He read it, and the revelation, faith came. The next day, everybody say next day. Thursday morning, somebody called and said, can we meet with you? Friday morning, he had the $100,000. The guy gave him, the couple gave him the $100,000. Lord laid it on their heart. So sometimes we say, well, you had faith failures. No, real faith doesn't fail. We have attempts of faith and what we call pretend faith. When we say, I'm believing. I'm believing God's going to turn my family around. I believe God's going to save my kids. Well, based on what? Because faith has a firm foundation. Hebrews 11:1. If you guys can put that up. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Everybody say substance. Substance. Say, everybody say, faith. My faith, must have substance. So when you ask me sometimes, I'll say, well, what's in your heart? You got to have the substance of what you're believing for and hoping for in your heart. Substance is just a word, a setting under, a support, or placing under, or things put on, a substructure or a foundation. So faith, real faith has a solid foundation. That means if you have a diagnosis of a disease, for example, and you're saying, I'm believing God to get healed, then the first questions that should come to your mind, or I may ask you, is based on what? I see the facts. But what are you believing? What is your believing based on? It could be anything. Job success, finances, marriage, based on what? It should be a word from God that you heard from the Lord or the revealed word of God by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. The anointed word of God. Something he spoke to your heart. Amen. I believe if you go back and listen to this, it's going to really help you. Praise God. See, we must know that we have the word of the Lord or a word from the Lord if we're saying, I'm just believing. God taught me this when I was, my last restaurant I actually managed, it was 5 different restaurants I actually supervised in the Tulsa area. And in my last before I got promoted, He said, you've been playing around with this thing. I'm going to teach you how to really manage by faith and supernaturally. And so he told me how to manage increase. Because I couldn't just run out and just blab everything and say anything and just put the quotation, oh, I'm just believing that the sales are going to come in. I'm just believing that the people are going to come in. I'm just believing that I'm going to have the employees that will stay with me. I had to get the substance of that in my heart. I had to get the word of God from the Lord revealed to me. These scriptures are what you stand on, or a word from God, a spoken word to my heart saying, thus said the Lord. And when you hear from him, it's hard. It's almost impossible to doubt him because you know you have that confidence that it's coming to pass. and then you can release it out of your mouth. Somebody say, glory to God. Too many people say, I believe in God. I just trust in the Lord. I even had to get on my mom about it a little bit. She's going through some health challenges. I said, what do you mean you trust in the Lord? Just say religious phrases or religious cliches. Based on what? We just do this religious blanket coverall statement. Amen. If you have faith in God, it's because you've heard from God. Now let's get into the examination. Amen? So when you say, I'm believing God, it should be an indication that you've heard from God. So if you're saying, I'm believing God to turn around my finances, guess what? It should be an indication that you heard from God about your finances. Don't hope and wish. Don't just will it or want it to change. You got to hear from him to believe that it will change. All right. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Hallelujah. Look at this concept of examine. Examine yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. Test yourselves and do not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you unless you be disqualified. See, saying I'm believing is not the same as believing. That's not how faith comes. Now, we're not to be the Holy Spirit police and examine and judge others. We are to examine ourselves. The biggest question we should ask next after we say I'm believing God or I'm trusting the Lord is based on what? Now, there are two possible answers. We have a spoken word from God, the Lord, or we have the word from God. It's not droning, dryly reading, or just quibbly quoting. It's the anointed word. Look at the amplified version of this. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you're holding on to your faith. Examine, test, and evaluate yourself to see if you hold on to your faith, and showing proper fruits of it, test and prove yourselves, not Christ. We were in school, and one of the guys at school was claiming the fact, he was claiming and made a statement, I'm going to claim Brother Hagin's Bronco. He had a Bronco they really liked, because he had just learned, you can have what you say, and all things are possible to them that believe. So he said, I'm going to claim Brother Hagin's Bronco. And he even wrote to Brother Hagin. So I'm going to let you use it till December. But come January, I'm taking delivery of the Bronco that I've claimed. Well, that's extreme excess. And some people do that. And some people are dead that with, I'm claiming that person as my husband or claim that person as my wife. Well, how do we examine that? How do we evaluate? How do we test it? Did the Lord tell you? Did you hear from him? Do you have the word of the Lord on it? Woo! And Brother Hagin got up and said, nobody's taking my Bronco. So you can forget it. Well, the guy didn't get Brother Hagin's Bronco. End of the story. And he ended up driving it for a long time, so he liked that car. And one of our instructors one time shares a story when he was pastoring. He was frustrated because many times we have the question, why is it taking so long? Some of y'all gotten beat up over the summer with stuff. And then you ask the question, why is it taking so long? Well, if you're frustrated, you're not in faith. Because faith receives, God's word is final authority, and receives from him on the basis and foundation of believing a word from God or the word of God, and then faith rests. Hebrews 4:3 says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Everybody say faith rests. Faith doesn't get frustrated and get fretful and get frowny and say, I'm believing, I'm believing. No. You're frustrated, you're not in faith. Faith response spawns with rejoicing, praising, and thanking God, and staying glad. And when the trying and the testing of your faith occurs, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, tests, and trials. Faith reacts to the anointed word of God with corresponding actions of obedience. You can't hear from God and stay still. God will require you to act your faith. Amen. Amen. Buddy Pilgrim tells, he used to be the CEO of Buddy Pilgrim, hence the last name, Pilgrim's Pride Chicken. And he said one day he wanted to be able to believe for $1 million to give to a certain particular ministry. Well, he's got a lot of money. So when he retired or resigned from Pilgrim's Pride CEO, he had $1 million worth of stock. The Lord had dealt with him and said, I want you to get that. So he went and told his wife, and his wife said, yes, I've been believing that for 2 years, 2.5 years. She went to the kitchen, pulled out a drawer, and it was a check written 2 years, 2.5 years ago for $1 million. She had acted her faith 2 years ago. The Lord had dealt with me 2.5 years ago to sow $1 million into the ministry. Faith without action is dead. Corresponding action. Amen. Dr. Savelle again, Jerry Savelle, said he was believing for an airplane. Well, the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? He said, I'm believing for an airplane. He said, no. He said, well, then what? You ought to be getting ready. Because some people think faith is lazy. Faith is mean God's going to do everything. No, sometimes you might have to be busy about working your faith, preparing your faith. In other words, he went out and got a hangar. He said, you ought to get a hangar. You need a place to keep your airplane. So he said, you ought to go get a hangar. He said, well, I don't have an airplane. He said, yeah, go, but you still can get a hangar. That's a step of faith. That's corresponding action. So he went down to the airport, and the guy was telling him, well, where's your airplane? What kind of size, model, make, dimensions of your aircraft? He said, no, I don't have it. He said, what do you mean you don't have it? He said, we got a waiting list here. He said, well, I need a hangar. He said, sir, you don't have an airplane. He said, sir, I've got a word from God. It's Mark 11:23-24. I got to tell Jesus, the head of the church, that you wouldn't give me a hanger because the Holy Spirit told me to come down and get a hanger. So I need a hanger. He said, well, there's a list. He said, well, put me on the list. Within 1 month, one guy gave him a hanger. And when he got the hanger, the airplane came. Somebody said, glory to God. You got to act your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, so some lady one time wrecked her car. Funny testimony. She wrecked her car, and she backed into something, and then she spurted out, said, I'm believing it's not bent. My car's not bent. I'm believing the car's not bent. Oh, God, don't let my car be bent. Well, guess what? It's bent. The car's bent. For example, if I say, because you saying, well, God, can't God supernaturally just keep my car, repair my car? Yeah, he can do that, but did he tell you that's how he was going to do that? Or he could have told her, this is how I'm going to give you the money to supernaturally to repair your car. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, if I said I was going to mow your grass, wash your dishes, babysit your kids, well, you can say, I believe Pastor Ed's going to mow my grass, wash my dishes, and babysit my kids. Now, if I didn't say this, you can't say, Pastor Ed's going to come mow my grass. I just believe Pastor Ed's going to come mow my grass, wash my dishes, and babysit my kids. Unless I said I was going to do it. See, saying things about God is not having a solid basis for God. A lot of people quote stuff on Facebook and the internet. I watch them, I don't say nothing. But they don't have any basis for that stuff. They simply wish and want it to happen and to be done. But this makes for pretend faith and not real faith. Timothy was told in 2 Timothy 1:5 that he remembered the unfeigned faith that was in his grandmother Lois. That means pretend. So are you a pretender or a contender? as we get ready to take the table, faith of God is based on what you heard from him. Faith in a person is based on what you heard from them. Amen. Because you can't just blab out and say, well, I'm going to make $100,000 more this year. Based on what? Did the Lord tell you? My business is going to quadruple this year. Did he tell you? I'm going to lose 25 pounds by the end of the year. Would the Holy Spirit reveal it to you? Give you scripture for that? Well, based on what? Real faith gets real results. Come on, stand with me. I'm going to read this scripture last. Thank you for letting me go a little bit longer. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Listen to the New Living Translation. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. Test yourself. The Message says this way. Test yourselves to make sure that you are solid in faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. So we're going to give you a chance to do some regular checking up. And as we get ready I want to leave you close with this last story. Y'all get something out of this today? Don't look around at other people. Look at yourself. Am I really in faith? Because some people are pretend Christians. They say they're Christian, but there's no actions, no evidence that they're actually a believer. Lord doesn't have their time. Lord doesn't have their talent. Lord doesn't have their treasure. Lord doesn't have their faith. Are you listening to me? We got to get real with this stuff. Jesus is coming back real soon. And he's looking for people that will have faith in him to change our community, our city, our country, our world around us. Amen. And these guys were back in the 1940s, he tells the story. 1940s. These guys collected handles, like handles for rakes and hoes and these little pitchforks handles, and they would kind of resell them and make a profit off of them. Well, one day these guys got back from purchasing these handles and getting these handles. They were just trying to make ends meet and keep more income coming in back in the 40s. And they had gotten back from a long day, and they just left them outside, and a rain was coming. And the guy said, oh, no, rain's coming. Our handles are going to get destroyed. The other guy says, I just believe they'll be all right. God's going to take care of them. They were tired. They were just too tired to get them in. Well, guess what happened? Next morning, the handles were ruined. God doesn't want any of your life experience any further to be ruined from pretending faith. Are you listening to me? He wants it to be real. There's things and assignments he wants you to believe him for. So examine yourself and say, Lord, am I pretending or am I contending for the faith? Hallelujah.